Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Change is afoot in New Jersey when your foot steps on the gas pedal. The state's famously low gasoline prices are about to climb higher. That's because on Friday, lawmakers did vote to increase the state's gasoline tax by 23 cents. That's in exchange for several other tax cuts. And the money from the pumps will go to refill the state's transportation trust fund. Plus, on Election Day, voters around the state will decide if casinos, now that we heard from Richard Hake about the one closing in Atlantic City, the latest one, if casinos should be built in northern New Jersey, ending Atlantic City's monopoly, though not ending monopoly being based on Atlantic City. Here with me now to take us through both of these stories are WNYC reporter Ilya Meretz and Nancy Solomon, who's directing our election coverage and is the managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio. Hi, Ilya. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nancy, when are drivers going to notice this 23-cent increase per gallon at the pump?
It could be November 1st or 2 weeks after Governor Christie signs the bill, whichever comes later. So it won't be before November 1st, could be later in the month, but I think he's probably going to want to sign this and get it over with.
And what's it going to do for the transportation trust fund and therefore the transportation infrastructure in the state?
Right. It's going to fund the Transportation Trust Fund $16 billion over the next 8 years, $2 billion a year. So just to back up a moment, the Transportation Trust Fund is the mechanism for funding all sorts of transportation projects, whether it be road repair, bridges, and mass transit. So all of that has been suffering as the fund was dwindling and there was no mechanism for raising any more money for it. So now all those projects, the construction projects that were shut down in July when they ran out of money, will now slowly be brought back. And, you know, maybe we'll hope that there's also some significant increase in some mass transit funding.
And listeners, you can weigh in on either of these things with respect to the gasoline tax. If you live in New Jersey, are you outraged? Are you resigned? Are you cheering because this is actually a good thing for the environment, the transportation infrastructure, tax fairness? What do you think? 212-433-WNYC. And who out there has gotten your mind around the Northern New Jersey casino referendum that'll be statewide on the ballot in November? Do you have an opinion or do you have a question? We'll get to Ilya Meretz on the details of that in a minute. 212-433-WNYC on either of these things, 212-433-9692 on the gasoline tax increase in New Jersey or the Northern New Jersey casino referendum that'll be on the November 8th ballot. Before we pivot to the casinos, Nancy, this was part of a package that included tax cuts, too. So it will be revenue neutral for the state of New Jersey?
I believe it'll be revenue negative for the state of New Jersey. It will fund the Transportation Trust Fund, so it'll take money that is only for that purpose. But at the same time, it will take money out of the general fund because they're cutting the estate tax, which is what people pay when they inherit money for. And that's a tax that is, I think it was the limit was $665,000 of taxable income. So
it doesn't,
of wealth.
It didn't kick in until your estate was at least that much.
Yes, thank you. So this was, you know, I think by all, no one disagrees with the fact that this was a tax on the wealthiest of New Jersey. And now they've raised the limit up, so it will bring, and then they'll phase it all the way out. So wealthy people can transfer their wealth to their heirs without paying that tax.
Working people of New Jersey pay more for gas.
Yes. And I guess the couple of tiny bones that were thrown to working people in New Jersey. One, the sales tax was dropped by 1 point, which will phase in over 2 years. So there'll be a slight savings on your sales tax. And for people who are really at the lowest level, end of the scale on income, the earned income tax credit, which allows really the working poor to pay less in taxes. That has been that credit has been increased a little bit. So all of those things will take a hit on the New Jersey General Fund, but at the same time, we'll now have a mechanism for getting the transportation funded.
Kim in Ridgewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kim.
Hi. I think it's great. I think it's about time we needed to raise this tax. It's ridiculous that we are not doing more funding of our public transportation. The fact that when he got rid of the ARC tunnel, nobody thought there was anything wrong with that. Am I excited to paying more for my gas? No, but it's ridiculous that we had the lowest gas taxes in the country. We should be paying more for gas. So.
Thank you very much. John in Sussex County. John, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
There's a couple of things here that the general public doesn't understand. First of all, the two senators that sponsored this bill for the gas tax increase, first of all, Senator Oroho, who's from northern New Jersey, Sussex County, he's a partner in a business that manages wealth for high-value clients. So his legislation, you've got to ask the question, is his legislation trying to improve the roads and the bridges, or is his legislation trying to do the best for his particular clients?
I'm not sure I understand. What's the connection? How would it benefit his clients?
Well, the senator has a private business.
Because of the estate tax? Is that why, John?
His private business is in wealth management.
Nancy, I'm not getting this. Are you?
No. Well, I mean, it has to do with the cutting the estate tax, which helps the wealthiest of New Jersey, and those would be his clients.
Is that why, John?
That's one of the reasons. His co-sponsor of the bill, Senator Sarlo, is the chief operating officer of one of the largest construction firms in the state. So his firm has the potential now of reaping some rewards here in construction projects that will be funded by the new money going into the Transportation Trust Fund.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of interests at play here. So, you know, obviously all the road construction industry, right, you know, understandably was very much in favor of raising the gas tax and fixing the Transportation Trust Fund. And clearly, you know, anyone who works with or for the wealthy or represents the wealthy was going to want to reduce the estate tax. So, you know, I think that's kind of I think most people understand that, understand some of those interests at play. You know, the question is, more, it's just, you know, the complicated question is, how do we run the state of New Jersey? I mean, it's just a mess. And, you know, the train wreck in Hoboken really brought the whole thing into high relief. Not that, you know, you can make a direct line between funding necessarily and whatever caused that wreck, but the train system is highly problematic, underfunded. You know, we've got people standing in the vestibules because the cars are too short. So there are lots and lots of problems that, you know, this is trying to solve. And I think it does, you know, an inadequate job of solving all of our problems.
Juan in Bergen County. Hi, Juan. You're on WNYC.
Hi. I'm a New Jersey resident and a longtime commuter, and I'm really applauding the efforts of this, you know, new policy, because I think it's going to contribute to our infrastructure, which, as you've been saying, is really crumbling. And, you know, train cars are crowded. There's potholes everywhere. It's really a shame that this hasn't been done earlier. And, you know, I urge people to really think that are repugnant against the tax to really think about it and think about all the benefits that's going to provide.
Thank you very much. But Dante in Maplewood, you're on WNYC with another opinion, I think. Hi, Dante.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just think the tax is, I don't know. First of all, I really don't like Christine. I think taxing people, generally people who drive to work, don't have the money to pay for the extra tax to begin with. And I just think if he just used the money that he already received from other taxes correctly, this wouldn't be an issue, and we wouldn't be having this problem now.
Dante, thank you very much. All right, WNYC's Ilya Meretz. When New Jersey voters go to the polls in November, they're going to see a ballot measure that you've been reporting on where they can vote yay or nay on casinos coming to northern New Jersey. What are they voting on specifically?
Yeah, the specific question is whether to allow two new casinos at two locations that are each at least 72 miles from Atlantic City, which effectively means somewhere in North Jersey. The casinos would have to be in two different counties. But that's it. It's actually a rather vague kind of referendum. And that may be one reason that it apparently is not doing so well. We've been watching polls on this question all year, and New Jerseyans don't really seem to like the idea of bringing casino gambling to North Jersey.
Is this connected at all to the proposed American Dream Mall, as it's called now, at the Meadowlands, formerly known as Xanadu?
A lot of people have inferred a connection. I think it's pretty tenuous, though. You're right, there is the American Dream Mall now under construction, or it's resuming construction now after a long period of idleness above the New Jersey Turnpike. The Casino Ballot Initiative is a little different. This is an idea that's been in the ether for quite some time. I think New Jersey policymakers saw that fewer and fewer people were going to Atlantic City. More and more of them were going to the Indian casinos in Connecticut or to the casinos out in Pennsylvania more recently, and they saw Atlantic City losing gambling revenue and thought, well, hey, we're across the river from New York City. We're in a position to still capitalize on our location. So really the idea of this referendum, and it's not spelled out in the ballot initiative, but this is what legislators say they wanted to do, was to allow casinos in North Jersey and then siphon off some of that revenue and send it down to Atlantic City as a form of aid. So it's actually a little bit counterintuitive. The ballot initiative apparently is not very popular in South Jersey because people are afraid that it'll hurt Atlantic City even more. But supporters of the initiative say, no, this would help Atlantic City. We could actually start generating some revenue and sending money down there for infrastructure projects and economic development projects. Trouble is, I don't think that makes a lot of intuitive sense to many New Jerseyans. They see the trouble that Atlantic City is in, and if you live in New Jersey, another casino just doesn't likely look like a solution.
Do you have a sense that the voters of northern New Jersey, those who have their minds around this already, are in favor of it? I know you also report on business in New York, Ilya, and the various communities of New York State seem to be clamoring for casinos when the state was only going to give out a few additional licenses. The people of the Catskills, where the economy is so depressed, seem to be crying out for one, and then there was competition with the Finger Lakes region and et cetera, et cetera. So do you think northern New Jersey wants this, or are they just really skeptical of both the social impact of casinos as well as seeing the failures in Atlantic City?
Yeah, North Jersey doesn't really want the casino either, as far as I can tell. I talked with a lot of commuters, and a lot of them cited potential traffic. They cited the potential social ills. And when you think about it, North Jersey is a thickly settled area. There is a lot of traffic already. It's not like there is an economic activity. There's some hurt, but it's not the kind of hurt that you have in the Catskills.
Very different.
I don't think that a lot of people really want it. The two people who really do want to bring casinos are businessmen, Jeff Garral, who owns the racetrack in the Meadowlands, and Paul Fireman, who made his money through Reebok, and his proposal is to put a casino at a golf course in Jersey City, right behind the Statue of Liberty, which sounds pretty spectacular, I got to say. But the men actually had an ad campaign together. It was called Our Turn New Jersey, but they suspended that ad campaign late last month, citing the bad polling numbers and also citing the lack of specificity in that referendum. Again, I think New Jerseyans didn't entirely feel that they knew what they were voting on and that if they voted for it, that they could trust lawmakers to use the money wisely.
Here is a supporter calling in. So let's hear from Frank and Hawthorne. Frank, you're on WNYC. Hey there.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Coincidentally, and somewhat humorously, actually, I'm on my way to Atlantic City from northern New Jersey.
To gamble at the one remaining profitable casino? I'm kidding. Go ahead.
No. Well, actually, I go to a very nice one, and it's run extremely well, and I think the Borgata will do well regardless whether there's gaming in North Jersey or not. It's just that from a matter of economics, now I have no feeling one way or the other in terms of who's making the money, whether it's the gentleman who owns the racetrack or the other millionaire who wants to put something in Jersey City. But it really comes down to dollars and cents. And basically, I think if you trace back a lot of the money in the anti-North Jersey casinos, you'll find that it really comes from people in Pennsylvania. You'll find that the kind of disinformation from these ads comes down to the fact that they just don't want people from northern New Jersey to be going to casinos in North Jersey. They would rather have them keep going to Pennsylvania, which if you went there at any given time, you would see that a sizable percentage of the people that are there are from North Jersey.
Frank, thank you very much. Before you both go, Nancy, I need to touch on one more New Jersey story that's been breaking around us the last few days. We've been under the presumption, with Chris Christie running into term limits at the end of next year, that the Democratic race for governor was going to be between a northern New Jersey candidate, Steve Fulop, the mayor of Jersey City, and a southern New Jersey candidate, Steve Sweeney, who's the state Senate president. They both really gone out of their way to try to get on the show over the last couple of years, just as one example of an indication that they were going to run for governor. Now, both of them have said that they're not going to run for governor.
Yeah, that was really a stunning turn of events. I mean, I don't think there was anybody paying attention to politics in New Jersey who did not think this race was going to come down to Sweeney versus Fulop. Sweeney from the South, part of the George Norcross powerful South Jersey Democratic machine, and Fulop, the mayor of Jersey City. So in a matter of days, both of them dropped out of the race. I think there are a lot of questions about why Steve Fulop dropped out. The speculation is that something is about to be found out. He's got a lot of ties to developers in Jersey City, and so that's one of the speculative questions about maybe something's going to come out about him. But at the moment, he says he just decided he didn't want to run, and he's not being too really making much of a case for why that is. Steve Sweeney has a much more understandable reason, even as surprising as it was, because he was, when Fulop got out of the race, suddenly all the North Jersey Democratic committees, the big county committees that put they vote on who is going to be on the top line of the primary ballot, and that is very important, and who they're going to support. And all the big populous North Jersey counties were falling in line behind Phil Murphy, the only Democrat who's actually declared in the race. And so that made a very tough political road and map for Sweeney and the South to deal with.
And just one other thing on that. We just have 30 seconds left. But for people who haven't noticed, Kim Guadagno, the lieutenant governor, came out against Donald Trump in the last few days with the video and everything. This obviously is a split with Governor Christie. Is Guadagno running for governor next year to try to succeed Christie as another Republican?
That, she has not said that she is for sure. She said she's thinking about it. You have to really be dug in on New Jersey politics to understand how incredibly crazy this all is. Kim Guadagno is Christie's running mate, essentially. She is his hand-picked running mate. She doesn't have an independent political life. She is only there because he chose her to be there. And she has been a loyal soldier for 7 years of a lot of controversy and a lot of him traveling out of the state and her taking, doing every ribbon cutting, every Elks Club meeting. I mean, and so We've been watching her for a long time. We've never been able to get her to break and say anything different from the governor. So when she expressed her disgust over the Trump tapes on over the weekend, it really was quite noticeable. And now, if she is going to run for governor, we're not sure she ever had Christie's endorsement, but she's not likely to get it now.
WNYC politics editor and New Jersey Public Radio managing editor Nancy Solomon, WNYC business reporter Ilya Meretz, thank you both very much. And related to what we just heard about Kim Guadagno, this just in from Politico, Speaker Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, told Republican lawmakers on a conference call this morning that he will focus the next 4 weeks on keeping the House majority. Ryan said he, quote, won't defend Trump, unquote, or campaign with him before the election, according to GOP sources, a clear sign that he's more concerned about holding the majority than winning the White House. Also in this call, Politico says Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, a Republican from California, also told lawmakers to take a deep breath and focus on their own races. So the cleavage in the Republican Party grows ever deeper this morning. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More in a minute. Stay with us.